Blog Talk Radio.
Fill my eyes the first time we kissed, the times we nearly said goodbye.
Chinananda of Love, and I want to welcome you to the Love Channel. Had strong guidance to do the show tonight. I never know why. I never know why I do anything, really. I just kind of go with the flow, which I've come to realize is God. God is the flow. The path of least resistance is the flow. And really, it's just the state of knowing that in the moment that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight and really kind of recapitulate for myself the state of love that I know is the only truth for me. Had a lot of interesting things happen today because I decided after, I guess, about 14 days of working straight at the job that I'm in now, the experience, the Dharma that I'm doing to bring forth the love that I am to everyone that I meet in a bigger way than I had been doing, not better or worse, just bigger. A lot more people am I seeing in the course of the day and staying completely centered in love. And anyway, so I decided to take off and really did. I took off. I mean, I actually defocused from what I've been doing for the last 3 months and stayed in my little sanctuary that I've, you know, learned to live in. It's like my little temple that's very beautiful. Everything that's in my room is an outpicturing of what I feel about myself. And I put myself in that space this morning and stayed there all day. That was my day off. And then at the end of it, I just kind of decorated. I put a new bedspread and new pillows, love pillows on my bed, and kind of felt really good about the space that I have. Maybe it's about a 10 by 12 room. And for me, it's probably the best environment that I've ever made for myself. And I've had beautiful, huge homes and little homes and apartments and condos. And this little space just seems to be my heaven on earth. And then I made a decision this evening to, you know, shower and get myself feeling and looking pretty for me, and decided to take a ride and get a new phone, which I did. I'm really happy that I finally got a phone that I hope is going to serve my purpose, which is to really just do these shows because I have no other reason to be on the phone other than to sometimes text my son or whoever else is in my reality right now that needs to share some kind of wisdom, because it's only about wisdom. There's really nothing else happening. Everything's just a messenger, really, for me to awaken the love I am. And so I've been noticing a lot about, more than ever, the aspect of me that calls in, which I always say, the bullies, the males that are bullies. And it seems like more and more they're showing up in my periphery if I choose to go there. And it really is a choice because they seem to keep appearing at the same space that they always did. And it's a place that I've been going to for years to kind of mellow myself out, to write books, to do poetry, to do counseling, to do a course in miracle classes. And lately it's all about, actually for a long time now, it's been about disease, illness, politics. I say dis-ease because it really is all about dis-ease. This piece, you know, parts of me, mostly the male, complaining that they're in pain and suffering and injustice and conspiracy. And I don't do news. I don't do the television. Most of the time I'm very silent. And I walk into this environment. It's a choice. It's not going with the flow. I actually feel myself pushing myself into this arena. And it feels like the Colosseum almost, you know. And this female comes in all bubbly and full of love, and all she hears is negativity, and that's judgment. You know, it is definitely judgment, me judging my world for what they, those aspects of me, represent. And tonight was another one of those moments. I went in for about 15 minutes after I did my phone and bought my phone, and it was another challenge. You know, it was about love. I walked in, and on the table that I was sitting at was the two men that, one Dan, who I really have a, you know, kinship with. He's an artist, and, you know, he always shares his art with me. And, you know, recently he sold one of his pieces of art in my restaurant, and then he made me a new one, so I kind of went to pick that up tonight, and this other man. And there was just this paper that was, it said forever. That was the headline. And I said, forever love, eternal love. And the two of them cracked up. And they thought, of course, and now their love is here. And, of course, she sees that as her reality. And for us, it's the craziest thing because some kid who murdered his parents was found guilty in St. Lucie County today. And it said forever in jail. And I didn't see that, of course. I just saw forever love, you know. And so it started a ripple effect of judgment upon me that, you know, who do I think I am with this love, and I'm judging people because they're negative and whatever, whatever. And I just realized that I take myself where I'm not. Often I do that. And again, if we want to compare it to, for me, I always try to do that because I feel like Jesus is my teacher. Christ, Jesus the Christ, was the way for me. And I understand that he really was self-realized and that he took himself personally where he did not belong. He took himself to a place of upset, a place of scandal, a place of politicians, of ego. And because of it, he became, you know, he crucified himself. And he knew he did that. He crucified himself because in truth we were one with God, and God is I am, and Jesus is I am, and Ananda is I am, and the darkness is I am, and whatever is I am. And I go right back to the concept of Neville Goddard, who, or Goddard, or whatever way people want to share his name. And he says in his writings and his teachings, he was a mystic from the early 1900s and really big, I think around the 40s and the 50s, he would do huge, I guess, kind of like performances in a sense, in one of the big hotels in L.A., and he would teach new thought. He would teach truth as he came to realize. And so he came to teach that Jesus is who we are, that we're all the Christ, that we all are here to walk in the body called man and to become self-realized, to remember who we are, and that every stage of development that Jesus went through is every stage of development that we go through as spirits, really. We're really not physical. We're not the flesh in truth. And so I really feel and know that. I really feel now more than ever that the body is just an outpicturing of what I feel and assume myself to be in this space-time continuum. And so I decide to take myself to a place that is so far removed from what I've come to realize as the I am-ness, the I am is. And I take myself there and I see myself battling with myself, the self, the little self and the big self saying, but it's only love. And the little self saying, what do you think you know? You know nothing. You're the critic. You're the judge. You're the liar. You're the loser. You're the whatever. And tonight it was two. You know, Dan, who's usually neutral, you know, saying, but he's right, you know, he's right that the world is going to hell and you with your love, what do you know? You're a minority. And yeah, in that world, I am a minority, but in my world, I'm all there is. And I'm all that I want to be. It's all that I want to see is the love that I am. And I start seeing myself going into the body and digging my feet into the ground and getting angry and feel the bull come alive in me. You know, I'll show you, I'll defend me, and I'll attack you. And it's like such a sick moment of realization. And a few people had mentioned that today on Facebook, you know, that they had those moments in the last week, and they caught themselves going into that dark place. The place where they think they forgot who they are, and they know that they're doing it, and they're still walking. And I have to correct myself for me. As I say, this always the show is about me teaching me out loud. It's me hearing the insanity and the love, me feeling through my expression what I've come to deny or to accept or to remember or to forget. And so, I mean, it's just weird because I'm starting to, tonight I'm riding around and I'm feeling like I'm really in a, you know, a Nintendo, which I don't even think that's, iBox, or IceBox, or whatever it's called. And I really feel like I'm a player in this grand new game, and I'm driving, and like, there's no cars behind me, there's no cars, and I'm laughing because it's usually a huge mess now that we're in the beautiful paradise that we are with a lot of people up north coming down because of the weather conditions and stuff. And all of a sudden, there's nobody on the road at 8 o'clock at night but me, and clueless about where I'm going. Yes, of course, I know in the higher realms where I am, but in the lower, you know, energy formation that I am called the body, I'm driving and not even any idea. And then I take myself into this parking lot and I feel the resistance. I feel the flow being interrupted. I feel the water starting to get, you know, torrid. I feel like there's some kind of a something occurring that's not about God. That's not about peace. That's not about love. And that happens as soon as I go into that territory that appears to be outside myself. And then I walk in and I start feeling the resistance within and without. Every time I go there, it's like there's no one greets you in love in this place. It's all about, I want you out of here. And that's everybody that I've experienced in that place, in me, outpictured. And somebody had shared this today, which I'm going to try to find, because it resonates so deeply with what I've come to realize. And so I know that it's a perfect reflection of me. You know, it's not synchronistic. It's my mind revealing itself to me outwardly so I can get it. And basically it was saying that, I got to find it, but I think I shared it on one of my pages anyway. Let me just see. And if anybody's out there that has something to say, please call in, because I would love to share this out loud with a part of me that's getting it or not getting it, just to see the clear reflection of what I am truly resonating in right now, because I know that there really is nothing but my mind, I pictured. There is another caller, but let me just try to find this quick. So whoever's calling in, hold on one sec, because I really do want to share this. Yeah, the chat room wouldn't go on tonight too. There's some reason it's saying I'm not logged in, and of course I am, so I don't know. And for some reason, this page just want to go beneath what it is, so I'm not. Oh, here's a chat room. It is up. Okay, cool. It's trying to load. So it was talking about the lower frequencies and the higher, and actually making the body, the mind makes the body flesh. It formates. It actually, the thoughts and the feeling tone actually sculpts the clay. And everything is exactly the way I feel it to be. Unbeknownst to me, I walk into a reality that appears to be neutral, a store, a bookstore, and I walk in knowing that I'm going to judge this experience because it's not what I want. I'm walking into a space that's really not where I want to be. And that's the mind that's trying to keep itself from the flow. It constantly gets it on its own way. And it constantly wants to think that it could be separate from the flow, you know. And was I to be there tonight? Obviously, because that's where I was. But to be there in non-judgment, truly non-judgment, and this guy said, you know, Ananda, we have to judge. I mean, some things are ugly and some things are beautiful. And I said, but judgment is a relative state, and it's so not, even if we could say, okay, judgment is right, still relative to the mind of the perceiver, and it has nothing to do with reality. Reality is, in truth, God knows nothing but love. God doesn't know the opposite. God doesn't see anything but absolute oneness. He cannot, the grand experience that we call God or heaven is nothing less than that, you know. It can't be separate from that. So anyway, I'm babbling. I'm going off on a tangent. I really don't even know what I can't find what I wanted to share. It's not moving past this page, so it's not meant to. I'm going to open up the line right now and see who's calling in and share a moment if I can get there. Oh, come on. And for a moment, I'm going to just be still and just breathe. When you realize, when you start to realize, to really self-inquire, and you know that's only you doing to you, it becomes really bizarre. Anyway, this is the call here. I can't really see the number because my computer stuff won't let me, so I'm going to just open the line on the first caller. Come on now. It'll happen, I guess, when it's meant to. Okay, hi. Who's calling?
Oh, hi. My name is Natasha.
Hello, love.
Hello.
What do you want to share, honey?
Oh, you know what? I was just listening in to the call. I just kind of called in, so I'm just joining in.
Right, honey, and that's okay. You had a question near you. That's why I opened the line. But I'm going to put you on hold, baby. And if you do want to ask a question, don't hesitate to call, you know, to just put your hands up or whatever the prompt is. Okay, honey?
Okay.
I'll get back to you.
I will.
Bye, love.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, and there's another caller. Hello, who's calling?
Hi, Ananda. It's Sabrina again. How are you?
Hi, baby. I'm glad you called in. So am I making any sense?
You actually are making sense. I got a little off track with the car until you explained it like you didn't exactly know where you were going, although you felt you were at the steering wheel, because I feel like I'm totally like just going for a ride. Like, I don't even think I'm driving at this point, so. About love. It was brought to my attention. I had this immediate answer. Do you know when, like, wisdom just comes up to you, like, instantly? Like, it's, like, almost like somebody used your mouth to express this type of window. Wisdom, you know? I said window. That was a slip. Well, somebody said that they didn't believe in a God that would do so much evil, and I immediately answered back, God doesn't do evil. People do evil. And yet, when we're in crisis, our expectations go to others.
Right.
I mean, I can be self-reflective and say, have I never hurt a person in my life? I'm sure I have. I'm sure I was cranky. Maybe I had PMS one day, and I just gave somebody the most awful, dirtiest look for absolutely no reason. So when I find that I'm trying to stay in spirit, do what's right, you brought up judgment. I really don't try to judge. You catch yourself judging when you do things like that. You know, it's kind of like eye-opening, you know.
Yep.
And above that, with the judgment, for example, let's talk of like David Berkowitz, the son of Sam. I couldn't even tell you how many women he murdered, and yet he became a converted Christian. Now, I'm sure a lot of people will have judgment about that, but I don't know what's in his heart. And that's the God I believe in. You know what I mean? Like, I can't judge another man's heart. I have no idea. I just know what's in my heart. So if I start to feel shady, I feel like I'm getting out of the spirit of God. And, you know, it's challenging. It's almost like you're on an obstacle course. So you don't want to judge. That'll be the day you get judged 15 times. You know?
Well, you know, for me, first of all, I went to David Berkowitz was in my class in New York. Yeah, so we were always, like, thinking that he was going to hit on one of us, whatever. And so he was definitely in my life.
That's a very strange coincidence. And Andrew, that if anybody to bring up, I mean, he's not really a topic. It's on my brain mostly, so.
Anyway, so this guy, yeah, well, that was the conversation was about tonight. Not David Burton, but this other kid that, you know. And, you know, children should get beat. I mean, it just was crazy. And, you know, again, it's not about them. It's about me choosing to go where I'm not. And I do it often. And I do it, and I know it's not with the flow, because the flow said to me, you know what, you're driving, and you'd much rather be at your condo that you used to go to and just sit in the parking lot and reflect, or you would rather go to the beach and just sit on the ocean, by the ocean, or you'd rather go to that awesome. And these are all still judgments and still egos, but it was free-flowing me to take me to the ocean. And instead, the car just makes that turn. It's like instant pilot. And that's what happens when we educate the body to do something, anything. And we actually, what I shared the other day, or maybe today, that our, you know, our children are our best teachers. You know, they teach us really what we need to learn. And then the body is our children. So what we teach the body, it automatically does. And it's on instant pilot for the last 15 or 16 years to pull into this parking lot. And I haven't liked being there for many years. I haven't liked it because it's not congruent with the peace and the love I am. I don't watch television, never turn it on.
Right.
I don't listen to news. But when I walk into that environment, it's as if I am and I have.
Right.
And I know it before I'm doing it. It's like it's the addiction that I always talk about. We are addicted. The body is addicted to being fulfilled, even if it's through drama. And I think you shared something like this today, if I'm not mistaken. Did you share something similar to that, one of your sharings today?
Oh, I have no. I share so much stuff that I'm not even certain.
But that addiction,
you know,
I could say.
I mean, I'm down 59 pounds, so I'm 137 pounds today.
How do you feel
about
that?
You know, it's like, so you talk about body transformation, and I definitely saw it first. So that when I walk, I hold myself a certain way, that I'm exercising a certain muscle group, like even just the physicality of the body, you know what
right.
I mean? Besides, you know, the ego containment and whatnot. It wasn't
right.
a vanity thing. It was more like a control thing, but not. See, I don't like the word control because that just has
right.
too many facets. There's certain
right.
control that's good. There's certain control that's not good. And, I mean,
yeah.
I guess that's really the gist of life. Too much of anything isn't good for you.
Yeah.
Life
but
too much.
The reality is, but the reality is that everything in this perceptual reality is about a program. It's a program and a response to that program. And when you really get it, you start like the matrix I talk about all the time, you unplug. Because for me, I had to unplug from the meat. I had to unplug from the crazy relationship. I had to unplug from the television, the news.
It's
the
like
glasses.
A purifying. It's like a purifying process. And most,
so
I mean, then
right.
like when it's, you're at a concert and it's raining and everybody's upset, you decide I'm going to dance in it, and everybody's like, "Yeah, let's dance." Like I get it, you know, because you're in a different.
Right.
You're almost like in a higher state having these sacraments in your life, like I'm not going to eat meat anymore, or, you know, I'm going to
yeah.
try to live without judgment. Even if it's something that's not attainable, the striving to do that is important, I think, you know, to do
but
right.
Again,
but sometimes.
But we are here to be self-actualized. We're here to be self-realized, and that's what Jesus came to teach. So these people that I talk to are born-again Christians, and all they talk about is revenge and judgment. And then I say, but don't you understand? He said, judge not lest you be judged. But you're judging us, Ananda, and you know what I am. I really am. Jesus was judging people too. The body I am is so programmed to separate itself from everything and everyone.
Sure.
You know, because it really thinks it's uniquely separate, and I have and you don't, and I'm this and you're not. And the reality is that we are all one. And more
right.
and more in my perceptual reality, even the people in my periphery now are starting. My son said it was so freaky because, you know, everything. This week has been, my mind revealed it. Synchronistic, unbelievable. And he walks into the restaurant and he goes, oh, my God, I was just singing that song in the car. And it wasn't like a song that's on the radio. It was a song that's like
right.
in the 80s. And
right.
you know, the radio was on. And I said, but don't you understand?
I've had many
just,
moments
it's,
like that. So I know exactly what you mean. It'll happen like 4 or 5 times a day, too, you know, on those
and
days.
That,
and you know that you're walking with spirit. That's what I call it. It's like to remind you, you know, keep on track. And, you're headed in the right place.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, that's certainly what we want to believe in the beginning. But you start realizing it's only you. It's only you, even on the radio. It's only you picture. You know, I look at this world. I look at Jorge. I look at this girl, Danny, that's working with me. these people are not the same since they started being in my perceptual reality. They are going for their greatness. And this has happened to me my whole life with people. They do not stay the same because I am so about breaking the barrier and taking away limitations in me so it's outpictured. These guys, they say, well, you bring up our shit. I've been hearing that since I'm a young kid. I bring up people's shit. Jesus, and when he showed up, he brought everybody's shit because he wasn't
right.
The same. He was so into self-purification, self-remembrance, and I'm not claiming to be Jesus by any means. I want to be, but I'm not there yet. And we all are, as I shared earlier. We are all going to the stations of the cross in this reality. And we're Christians, so maybe we believe that more than maybe another, you know, a doctrine called religion, a religious, you know, concept called whatever. But the fact of the matter is that the more realized I become, self-realized I become, the more neutral I become. And so when I do this job all day long, 12 hours a day, my age is gone because the power that I have to withstand, I don't even sit for 12 hours, and I am absolutely energized like you can't even believe because I'm so connected to the flow and the dharma of my life, which is just to serve in love, just to give love. And that when today I truly just collapsed. And I was saying, I got to get up because this isn't who I am. I'm not about being tired. You know, I'm about being true to my higher self, my God self. And, you know, and so what I'm saying here is...
No, that's really awesome because I know your energy. You are that way, you know, like that. I admire that greatly of you.
But
you're just very peppy. You're just able to stay in that peppy spirit where, like, a person like me is more of a comforting spirit. Like, I have more of that. I call it ocean calm, so, like, people nap around me.
I just put people
to sleep. But, you know, it's more of a low frequency, so. But it's not a down frequency. It doesn't have to be a negative frequency. Sometimes it's just like, wow, this feels good, you know, like.
But the most important thing to understand is that we're not separate.
We're
just on different frequencies of remembrance because we're all one. So everything in my perceptual reality is like the cells in my body. Everybody in my world is me, is you, is it. We're all one. And so I'm in you, you're in me. You know, there is no better, worse, higher, lower. We're all perceptually experiencing what the God I am chooses to experience through us. So it really, and I said this today over and over again, I kept on hearing that every one of us is in some kind of an issue. And that issue is not good or bad, it's just an issue. And who am I to judge because you're lower or you're creepy or you're happy or you're dopey or you're sleepy? You know, it doesn't matter. And if I could just allow myself to be where I am when I'm in that restaurant, when I'm out of that restaurant, because when I'm in that restaurant, I am in the true state of God as I am. I don't have any personal gain in mind. I don't even know what I am there for other than to see those people walk in. And all I hear, as I said, you know, a few shows ago, is, oh, my God, this is awesome. This is the best I've ever had in my life. You know, what? What? What the hell is that? Because they don't, it's not the food. It's the experience of feeling so welcomed. You know, a little girl came in last night with a family, and her little sister was in a wheelchair, you know, and she was so absolutely brilliant. The light that was coming from this little girl that was in the chair, she was probably the little girl's birthday, and she had her gifts, and there were seven of them. And I ran out, and I bought a balloon and a little, you know, a tiara for her head and candles. Because to me, that child came to spend her birthday in my restaurant. You know, that aspect of me was being born again through this little girl, and all I wanted to do was celebrate her. And so when I work in an environment, I want to be celebrated. Why would I put myself in an environment where I am not celebrated? And that goes right back to the core issue of being born through parents that were unconscious, aspects of the ones that were sound asleep to their own celebrated self, you know?
Right.
And
I could definitely relate to that. You know, I feel like I go against the grain a lot to do what is right to the greater good, you know? And
right.
sometimes the other people at your table that are sitting with you, if their intention is not your intention, you know, you kind of have to reevaluate that sometimes.
But that reevaluation comes back to the state of judgment. And as soon as I say, he's doing that to me, I am judging God himself, you know.
Right.
And I got to watch that, because for me, it's not who I've chosen to be in this perceptual reality. I've chosen to try to be the love that I am, to constantly be in love. And I got to keep reminding myself. So I look at this angry man that's going for surgery next week, and there's so much mumbo jumbo connected to that. And I see how he established that part of me, established that cancer, that lung disease, whatever it is. And I say, oh my God, what a wayward mind I've created for myself to see this aspect out pictured as this angry, vindictive male that doesn't understand from that perceptual reality that he did it to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't get it, there's a chance that somewhere along the line I haven't got it and may not get it when it comes upon me. So I got to be ever vigilant that everything in my world is showing me something that I either was about, am about, or will be about if I don't get straight with God. And when I may say that, I don't mean like, you know, oh, God, save me. No. Remember who I am. Remember I'm here to be the love, the light of the world, the heir to the kingdom of heaven, to truly understand that and not to deny that. To deny that is to say, oh, pity him. Oh, look at him. Oh, he's a loser. He's a winner. That's true. That's denial. And the Course in Miracles says true denial is about forgetting that you're God. You're not God. You're not one with God. If you really knew who walked beside you on the path you have chosen, you could never be in fear. You could never judge. You know, you could never judge. And yet there's been people in my life over and over again that have shown me my cellular memory of being not celebrated or not made to feel like I was worthy to be even a body, never mind God, you know?
Right. And that's what I mean, like, how do you interpret those types of people? Like, even if I'm, like, how do I explain it? Like, what about the people who don't walk with God that are in your perceptual reality? This is what I mean. Because, like, my actions turning to God has actually put on other people to start, you know, paying more attention to their spiritual beings, which is like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I did, like, not that I did that. I really didn't have anything to do with that. But it's kind of like it's a beautiful thing. And yet there are others that are actually, it's like a stomach-turning thing to them. Because I'm not a perfect human being, and I'll never be a perfect human being, but I'm trying, you know what I mean?
That's only the program called you that's saying that this dance will go on, this perpetual discomfort with who I am. And, you know, that's why that I always go back to the one that I know is the one who came into being, gave birth to, that showed me the true state of my love nature, that said there is no other. When I got that, when I really swallowed that and realized that everyone in my perceptual reality, though I was teaching, I didn't get it, was showing me what I feel about me. And the most petty tyrant, the most horrible aspect of myself was my best teacher, because they were showing me what's keeping me from heaven completely.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't get it, it's going to become lodged in me and it's become cancer. And it will take me down body, mind, and spirit if I let it. So thank you, you know, abuser. Thank you, Daddy, who no matter what can't love me. He said to me the other day, you are not important. I am. And the little girl just sobbed because she said to herself, you still are being impacted by that program that brought you into being because it was here to teach you the opposite of what you really are.
I'll tell you what, my son had a high sugar attack and verbally abused me today so badly that it did make me sob. And yet, I couldn't tell you what it was because something about me said dismiss it. It didn't mean anything. It wasn't even true. It was said out of anger from a bad place. Just throw it away. And I literally just threw it away. I have no idea what the boy said to me.
When I'm counseling aspects of me that I call separate that are really me, I always say, here's the garbage can. Give it to me now. Give me that now. It doesn't belong to you.
But it was something that was like almost like maybe a year ago, Amanda. Honestly, I would have taken it. I would have pined about it. I would have harped on it. You know, it would have ruined many days for me. Like it's almost like an improvement.
But that is absolutely true. But remember something, honey, that there is no time. That's a linear mind. But when you really realize everything's happening simultaneously, and believe me, 21 years of dedication to consciousness, and I still fall prey to those moments.
But I just see it as like something that had to come first. Like that, I understand what you mean about it not being linear, but it did have to occur in this space.
Oh, yeah, yes. And
so
what I'm saying to you,
so that I
could
be at a different...
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like it's my son. All right, so somebody causes you pain. More pain do you cause yourself. Like that in itself, never mind what the subject matter was. That was a big hang-up for me for a long time, allowing it to just, you know, get into me like a toxin.
Right.
So why I don't want to accept that. I throw it away
now.
No.
Everything that you're saying is absolutely brilliantly showing you how far you've come. But when you get what I'm trying to say to you, and I'm not trying to be a negative any way, I'm saying it never leaves. The potential of being captured by that experience never leaves me.
Okay,
so it could be daddy when I was 3 or daddy when I'm 103. He's still going to have the power as long as I allow myself to think that he
this
is separate.
This Saturday makes my father's 19th year, you know, passed away. I lost him very young, and nothing's changed. It's still right there, I'll tell you that. So I understand about time not being linear, but, you know, it's almost like, although my father is not living in the physical, resolutions have come after his passing, but that's me working it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not that I don't want to say quote-unquote daddy issues, but I think we all have our crosses to bear with our mothers and our fathers and our siblings and our best friends and our worst enemies. I mean, it's just how, you know, our interrelationships with each other, and I totally get what you mean about reflecting, because you can change the energy of someone else coming to you with a certain energy. It's not just possible. That's what happens.
I've been having amazing dreams about, you know, the one, again, that I call the one, which is an aspect of me it just is. It's a finality, and it's eternal. So that's, to me, it's divine. It really is godly. That union is sacred. And I've been having dreams about the family, his family coming to me and absolutely telling me that he has to come home and you have to get him home. I mean, his grandmother can't.
I've been having, like, dreams, not specifically of the one, but the one family, and I haven't for at least a month.
The same thing with me. So what I'm saying to you is what's happening there is that reality is absolutely coming. It's the lineage now. I've made such a change in that aspect of me that his lineage is coming on board now around me. They're feeling the love. They're supporting me in the dream. They come before he does. And we're eating together and we're celebrating and they want me with him. So that's me coming into the state of remembrance that I finally have accepted God's love. I finally did. And, you know, people say to me, oh, come on, you got to get over. There's no getting over.
Getting over. It is what it is.
It's
actually
and you know
a beautiful
what?
Thing because you're right, because I've seen all sorts of visions, past, present, future, and it is what it is. Like nothing has really changed.
Right. And that's
it's just
it.
A weird that's thing. It's just like whatever in this lifetime, physical, not physical, like we're all interconnected. That's
and
for sure.
And some of us are representative of that aspect of the God self that's more congruent. You know, you and I definitely have a connection.
No, I like to see it like the triangle, the love of God that reaches to people that connect with that same, that only love. That's what it is.
Right. Right, and it really...
the person just, I mean, we lose people to passings and distance and just so many various reasons, but you never really lose a person that's always going to be there.
And it really isn't the physical person, though, in my case. It just came up as I'm, there's an actual ad that I've never seen on my studio right here. That says this guy's name. The name is right there in front of my face. And I have to capture it with the camera. Give me a sec. I'm telling you, so that happens all day long. And is it me doing it to me? Of course it is. But the fact of the matter is that, oh, my God, you know, I think of it, I feel it, and I just beam in such joy. Because
mm-hmm.
I know the body, time, space does not separate us. But wherever I am, he'll always be. Can't be any other
way. Now, there are some people in this lifetime that haven't met that one for them, right, and physically. And yet I know that they've had dreams of them. I sure did before I met physically. You know what I
right.
mean? Like, so, but I think people, I don't think people pay, and I don't see, this is coming from a judgmental one. It's like a trend I see, like you say, the program. People are programmed not to pay attention to that metaphysical lives. They just don't. So if they have this crazy, weird, lucid dream, they just put it on a shelf, let it get dusty, forget about it, and just go on there what they're supposed
uh-huh.
to do lives.
Right,
I kind of like...
What about if that person that you're pointing at is really an aspect of you? It's one of the cells in your galaxy. You know, and that's the truth. We have infinite cells in the formation.
Oh no, it's absolutely true, especially with time not being linear, Ananda. I mean, I'm just reading the Bible like again and again and again, and I started reading about Jesus resurrecting, you know, the dead, and what they mean by the dead is the sleeping, the ones that are dead spiritually that haven't been rejoicing in his name, and like I didn't always. You know, so if time isn't linear, I'm always going to be, that's going to be some aspect of me. But for me, there's a pulling of explaining to people, like, you can be happy. You can wake up today and just be happy. Like, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to attain anything. You just have to live with an open heart and be happy. Because that's
right.
all God wants for us. Like, that's what I don't understand. That's all God wants for us, is to live and love and be happy. That's it.
So if we go with the flow, and to me, flow, again, I got, is God. It's just no flow, flesh, God. That is really being present and non-resistant, because resistance is the only reason there's any dis-peace or dis-ease in our reality. So if we really go with the flow, and who knows where it's going to take us, we don't know. It's unknown to us, and every moment it's an unknown.
It could be exciting, not, you know, scary.
Right,
you know,
and
because
so
we don't know where it's going to, you know, it'll be new experiences, and it could bring us to places we never thought imaginable. Like, that's kind of the way you should perceive it, you know?
Right, so
if you can see gloom and doom, you got a good chance gloom and doom is coming, you know? Like,
so if we go back to the idea that if we knew who walked beside us on the path we have chosen, we could never be in fear. Oh, my God. I mean, do you believe that you could actually change the formation of your son? Do you know that
him.
You can raise him from the dead? Do you know that
him.
You could say, Lazarus,
that's
get up
I
and
calmed
it's done?
Him down. When he
right,
was getting
so,
really out of control, I hugged him. And he melted.
No, so his out of control is the resistance in you that still believes there's others that can cause you great harm. So my son, who was my younger son, went with me to Course in Miracles when he was 10, 11, 12, 13. Now he says to me, you know, I kind of know everything you're saying is true, that I am is all I'm seeing, you know, and it's divine because he finally, I got the confirmation. When two or more come together in confirmation of God is I am, there is God. So now right. you got your son like a piece of clay, and he's saying, Mommy, wake me up because this is bullshit. I
right.
do not have diabetes. This is crazy shit because God can't be sick. So keep that in mind. Every time that he acts out, just look at those eyes and say, I see Jesus. Oh, my God. And I tell you, baby, he will not be in dis-ease. But you got to believe it because he's just you, showing you what you feel within that's not congruent with God's love.
Mom,
this is
the weird thing about diabetes, Amanda, is if he took care of it, he would never be sick. So that's an interesting thing. The classification, the terminology, it's not even about that. It's about he can live to be 100 and be well. It really is living in
right.
good spirit. So, and I'm trying, you know, I'm trying with him. You know, I feel that he's living in his own perceptual reality as well, you know. So that's
right.
exactly how I see it, is he's bringing on a lot of his own ailments.
All right, but listen to me and take what you want and leave the rest, which I have all the listeners that are listening and all the people that are texting or whatever they're doing in chat room.
Yes.
That when I finally got that there is nobody to change but me, and I do a session with somebody and they hear after 5 minutes, stop talking about him and her. If you want to continue with me, we got to only be about I am. Because I know I'm talking to myself, and if you go elsewhere, that means I'm distracting from this moment with you. So we've got to stay present. When you know that you are the director of everything in your perceptual reality, then you can change it. When you
right.
think for 1 minute that you're not, you have no control at all. And who has control? The God I am within you. But you've got to give it complete power. You can't sideswipe this. You can't deviate
well,
from this.
I still have an issue with the outside-inside thing. So
and there really is.
I see God outside the body. I have more problems seeing God inside the body. That was like that was my biggest self-actualization, that I wasn't loving of myself. That was my first.
But baby, it's just me. I'm just you. So what I'm telling you is in your own head. What you're telling me is still in my periphery. So everything in my periphery is absolutely a part of me right in this moment. And there are outer bands. I always say outer bands of awareness. And when I break through this one, there's another one. When I break through that one, there's another one. It's
right.
like, you know, orbits around planets. And so in my periphery is everything that I need to bring me back to God or bring me into the state of body, which has, you know, all kinds of issues that get sick and dies. You know, and that's okay. All of it's okay. But for me right here and now, I choose to say, you know what? I want to be with the flow. I want to be with God because God is the only thing that feels right for me now, the energy of knowing that I can, in fact, alter any experience just by being loved. Loved to accept the love from God and then see it out pictured in my world. Because I can't love without God.
Mm-hmm.
I can't love without receiving love. You know, somebody said to me, you should open your heart and be open for new experiences. What? New experiences for what? You know, for what? All I want to do is remember that I am one with love. That I am one with God. And when I get there, it's like I'm stoned on some kind of funky high drug, and I just wake up, everything's sunny. It's like, oh, my God.
Right.
Everybody that's been in that restaurant is, oh, my God, she's here, he's here, they're here. I don't even know. I just know that it's such a right, good, wonderful symmetry, a harmony. And everybody's happy. Everybody's beaming, you know. And I'm cooking. And everybody's – it's silly. It's silly. And
it's
how
not silly. It's awesome.
But what I'm saying is that the only way that I can do that is just to get my ego out of the way, get my separate self that thinks it's anything out of the way. And I don't push it away. I just go back to the flow.
I had a manicure and pedicure, and I was in spirit, and all three of us, because they did one of those simultaneous special things, and all three of us are hysterically laughing. Now, you know me to not go to get my hair cut, really, and I'm not very, you know, I'm not a manicure kind of girl, so, like, I don't do this often, but all three of us are giggling and cracking up for absolutely no reason, and are so happy. We have a woman that was standing there, she didn't understand that she was shaking her head, and we thought it was hilarious, because all three of us are sharing this awesome energy together, you know, and I don't even, I couldn't even tell you if they could speak English, it didn't matter, we were just like, hey, it was so great.
But
so
that is the state of
affairs. Going, so like, what are they on, you know, like.
But that's the state of affairs. They call me, my son goofs on me, you know, I'm fat shit, what is that? And it's a consciousness of remembrance that I am one with God and the bliss that follows. You know, why would I choose a bizarre name like that? It wasn't even chosen because the one that I call the one said that's basically who I am, you know. And I know that's the truth. I know that I am here to awaken those that still sleep. Where are those that still sleep? Within me. There's parts of me.
Well, it's something I did because, like, I'm often alone. I don't know how many people are, you know, sometimes you just can't connect with people. You feel lonely. I go out and wave and smile at strangers. And the weird thing about it is they all smile and wave back at you. So you start going, like, hey, how you doing? And you meet people that way. It's the weirdest thing in the world. But if you bottle it up, then you're not sharing it with anyone. That was, like, just something I did to keep myself in spirit because, you know, I'm not currently working. Sometimes I have a crazy day. Other times I wish I had a job to go to. So I go outside, I walk, everybody's at work. But, you know, I walk past the pizzeria, I'm waving in the window. They don't know who I am. They're waving back. You know, like.
Now, that's why I love you to pick up that book because it's such a beautiful, in the Huffington Post, I read in 2009 that they did a review of Course in Miracles, and they said how eloquently beautiful it is because it takes the Bible verse and makes it all plausible and loving and whatever. And basically, when I first had the awakening to that, and I want to close with this. We have 3 minutes left, so I'm just going to close with this. I had this awakening. I met a man, and I saw the face of God. Him and I obviously had a lot of lives that we were having simultaneous realities together, and I was never the same. I came back, and all I was doing was beaming. And so I'd look at people in the supermarket, and they'd give me that look back, and I knew that we were one with God. I knew that we were, and it happened everywhere I went. So I was entourages. People would give me things for nothing, and I knew on some level that I was in heaven. You know, I had that for so many years, and then I went back to this reality and had to do some more unveiling of what was hidden from me, which was the God I am. And it's like the true sense of ourself is hidden in plain sight. We can't deny it when we go back to love that God is with us. Because if you look, like you said, into that stranger's eye, you know that you're not strangers. They know you're not strangers. They know that you are one, interconnected. And that's the beauty of it. And the more that we stay in that, the more we hold hands and the more that we walk in that unity of being one with God and one with love. And these aspects of me that keep saying, Ananda, stop your shit. There's war. There's violence. There's dark. And I said, but in my perceptuality, there's love. And they said, but you're a minority. It's okay. It still exists. I still exist in this reality, and so do many others, millions of others that are choosing not to do television, that are choosing not to stay in the darkness of this reality and saying, you know what, I'm going to love them anyway. You know, and if I don't love them anyway, it's because I'm not loving myself. And if I'm not loving myself, I'm not loving God because God is. We have 60 seconds left, baby. I always love talking to you. Stay clear. Bring that boy of yours back home to God because you know what? He is. He's your best teacher. He's going to show you how to awaken the God I am in you. I love you. I want you
love
guys
you.
To have a beautiful, beautiful night knowing that within you is the power to raise the dead, to bring that which is still sleeping to an awakened state of love. You are so loved, and I feel so grateful that I could share this moment with that part of me, those parts of me that choose to be awake this night. So have a great night. I love you. Have a beautiful rest of the week. The weekend's upon us, and let's have a great time. Good night, baby.
Good night. Love you. Bye.
Love you.